Total Tuscany Podcast, number 11. Ciao, and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. I'm Travis Justice, joined once again by my good friend. He's your friend. He's your partner in Tuscany, Mr. Pat Capani. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Travis. How are you today?
You know, every time we sit down and record, I just get in a good mood because there's nothing better than talking about Tuscany, especially on a daily basis.
I agree. It kind of takes your mind off the rest of the stuff, doesn't it?
It really does. But my mind is on Florence. It's on Pisa. It's on Tuscany every single day because a large part of my day I'm consumed with finding the best airfare possible to Italy. And I think what you and I are both finding right now, it's as expensive as hell right now to go to Tuscany. We cannot find a good airfare.
No. And my mind's on the gelato festival from last week's conversation. So we need to find a way to help ourselves and help our listeners get to Italy on a less expensive ticket.
Now, you and I have been, every time we've gone to Florence and to Tuscany, we've done it different ways. The first time we went, it was a huge family vacation. We took your kids, my kids. I think there was 15 of us, 16 of us
15,
total.
17. Mm-hmm.
And we used a travel agent to book our flights, but we flew into Rome and then drove up. And then the second time, we took our wives, and I think we used Travelocity, and we flew into Florence. And we realized at that point, if we were just going to do Tuscany, we're not flying into Rome and driving up. We're going to fly into Florence because Florence was a much smaller airport and access in and out was much easier.
Easier to navigate, less traffic. In every which way.
And then the last time that I went, I used Expedia. You didn't go with me on that trip, but I used Expedia.
You rub it in every time.
Yeah, I'm going to rub it in because you decided that you didn't want to hang out with me. Why didn't you want to hang out with me?
It wasn't like that.
but I used Expedia. So you and I have become very big fans of maybe not using a travel agent because we had a very good experience by booking European flights on the internet. I know some people go, whoa, I don't know if I could book a European flight on the internet. And I'm here to tell you right now, it's not as hard as you may think. All you do is you go on, you do your search, you buy your ticket. The one thing I would recommend is get trip insurance. Everybody, mm-hmm. especially if you go to Europe, you should buy trip insurance because it protects you in case you get sick, if something gets lost. It's very much worth the $45 or $50 extra that you're going to spend. Well,
for such a long trip, absolutely. Yeah, and you know, when we're making these plans, it's you and I are sitting back and saying, okay, how much do we need to how long in advance of our trip should we book? Where should we look? Do we need to go through a travel agent? If we had a great travel agent, that'd be nice, I suppose.
Yeah.
But there's got to be some tricks that would help us to navigate through this.
And I think there are tricks. But my piece of advice, and I think we're qualified to give a piece of advice, is this. We all want the best price possible to Europe. I totally get that. But as you sit down and you know you're going to make a trip, have a dollar figure in mind to where if you see that dollar figure, buy. Mm-hmm. Don't hold off for one more dollar. Don't hold off for 25 more dollars. If you have something in your mind, what you think you would like to purchase a ticket at, buy it. And our magic number is, because we've never flown to Florence for, what, less than 1,000. It's always been right around that $1,000 mark. So my thing is, if I see it at $999, I'm buying because I know that's about as low as I'm going to get it.
Well, and we've also discovered that timing our flights and when we depart mm-hmm. from our home city and when we make those connections, all of that's important. And so saving $10 or $20 on the airfare, I'm not sure that that's worth it.
And so we want to bring in now today's guest because he knows a lot about trying to find the perfect airfare and is there really a magic formula to finding the cheapest flight? Is there a magic formula to win a certain number of days out to buy that ticket? You might be surprised what George Hobica of AirfareWatchdog.com has to say. George, I guess, first of all, let me ask you, as we look for flights all the time, especially to Tuscany and to Florence and to Pisa, we've noticed that airfare is right around that $1,300 to $1,400 mark to where we're flying out of. Why is airfare to Europe so high right now?
Airfare to Europe has gone up remarkably, and it's partly due to airline consolidation. So there used to be that Northwest would compete with Continental and United and Delta and U.S. Airways, and now we really only have three major U.S. airlines going to Europe. Of course, there's British Airways and Turkish Airlines and all these other carriers, but the foreign carriers don't all fly from very many U.S. Origin point. So Turkish only flies, say, from Los Angeles and New York and Houston. So in order to save on travel to Europe or to Italy specifically, during the summer, there's not much choice. There are some strategies that people can use, but they're very inconvenient. For example, there's a fairly new airline that's flying to the United States called Norwegian Air Shuttle. They're Twitter handle is fly_Norwegian, by the way. And they had some amazing fares to from their gateways, which are Orlando, New York JFK, Oakland, and Los Angeles, to Scandinavia, London, and Paris. Now, the problem is that the fares were very, very low, but that's not Italy. So once you get to Scandinavia, you have to take a low-cost carrier to Italy. Now, some of these fares were $300 round trip. I kid you not. They were wow. so cheap when they first launched. And then they went up to $600, and now they're $900. So, but even with the inconvenience of going through, say, Stockholm to get to Italy, it was cheaper than flying from the United States directly. Now, the problem when you do that sort of thing is that if your flight is late and your connecting flight to Italy, you're going to miss your connecting flight. So you kind of have to, like, either have a very, very long layover, or you have to stay overnight to make sure you're going to make your connecting flight. The other strategy is flying into Milan. Milan, recently from New York, we saw fares that were $600 round trip for introductory fares in the spring because Emirates just started flying from JFK to Milan nonstop. And that's great. I mean, because it was a route that had very little competition. It was basically Alitalia slash Delta. But again, that's only from New York. So you would have to fly from, say, Houston, for example, to New York. And there are some very cheap fares from Houston to New York. We've seen 160 round trip from Houston to New York, for example. JetBlue is flying from Virgin, is flying from Dallas, Love, to New York JFK. They had some intro fares at $98 round trip. So that's to JFK. So there you go. You fly from Dallas for $98 round trip, and then you hop on Emirates. The problem is if you miss your flight, you're screwed.
and that sucks for everybody when you get screwed like that. And that was going to lead me into my next question was, you know, if you're at a major hub, let's say a JFK or DFW, let's say you're in the middle of nowhere. Let's say you're in Des Moines, Iowa, or Lincoln, Nebraska. How much of a disadvantage does that put you at price-wise and convenience-wise?
Well, it's not always a huge disadvantage. Certainly convenience-wise, it could be. If you live in a place like Des Moines, and I am guessing that very few of your listeners do.
But, you'd probably be correct.
The ones who go to Italy, but you know, you might want to get yourself to Chicago. And sometimes it's cheaper to drive or even take a bus and stay overnight in like the airport hotel and then go from there. There are strategies. They're just not very convenient strategies. And the major airlines know this, and that's why they're charging the $1,600, $1,700. Obviously, fares after, usually after August 18 or so, the fares start going down when the kids go back in school. And of course, kids are going back in school earlier and earlier for whatever reason. And then in September, after Labor Day, they go down more. So for example, a fare from anywhere in the United States to Rome might be $1,600, $1,700 for peak summer travel, but it's going to be $1,200 for fall travel. And the thing is, too, that you know, fares do fluctuate, and there are sales, and there also are mistake sales. We saw some mistake fares. They lasted only a few hours on Delta, on United, on U.S. Airways. There was a huge mistake fare on U.S. Airways from all the U.S. Airways hubs that American Airlines was selling to Europe, all the U.S. Airways hubs to Europe, and fares were like six, even for summer travel, they were $600.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but they only lasted a short while, and American Airlines caught it. So American Airlines was integrating U.S. Airways fares into their system, and they screwed up. Somebody, you know, had, you know, not enough sleep the night before. And there was a huge sale, but it only lasted for a few hours. So you know, I think, you know, Twitter is a great way to monitor these fair mistakes. You have to act so quickly, though. If you, you know, when I say quickly, you have to be monitoring, you know, like 15 minutes and you'll miss it. You know?
Now, George, the August 18th date in the fall, in the latter part of summer, is there a window of opportunity that the listeners could follow in the spring, not tied necessarily to the school calendar?
Sure. Until March 31st, typically fares are cheap. From January, just after January holiday to March 31st is when airfares are cheaper to Europe. We will see $600 fares to Milan again, I'm quite sure. And incidentally, Delta was matching some of these fares from other cities besides New York. So from Chicago, we saw $600 fares to Milan round trip, including tax for non-summer travel. So we will, and also, you know, Turkish Airlines, if you don't mind overnighting in Istanbul sometimes, or having a 12-hour layover at Istanbul, Turkish Airlines has some great fares from their hubs in Los Angeles and New York and Chicago, I think, and also Texas. So you, in order to save money, sometimes you have to do those overnights. And I consider it a bonus. You get to see Istanbul.
That's true.
But the savings are worth it because sometimes the fares are really cheap. Another airline that's really cheap is Aeroflot. Now, some people may not want to give the Russians any business these days. I'm one of them. So I'm not going to fly an Aeroflot, but they have some very cheap fares.
You know, how do people stay? Because there's so many. You founded airfarewatchdog.com. What was your motivation behind that? And what is the best way for people? You mentioned Twitter and stuff, but to sign up for email alerts, what's the best way for people to stay on top of where airfares are going?
Well, definitely email alerts. Now, at Airfare Watchdog, you can tell us, I want to go from Des Moines to Milan or to Rome, and we will tell you when the fare is reasonable, what we consider reasonable. But the best thing to do is we have a particular email. You could say, give me all the fares from Rome, all the fares to Milan. And that is good because maybe the fare from St. Louis to Rome is never going to go down, but Chicago to Rome goes down. So you have to make the decision, okay, I'm going to drive to Chicago, or I'm going to take the bus or the train to Chicago. So always look for all the fares to the city, because if you only look from Oakland to Florence, that may never go down, but Oakland to Rome, San Francisco to Rome may go down. So we have this great email that we send out periodically when the fares go down. All the fares to Rome, all the fares to Milan. But we can also give you a specific route, Newark to Milan, and we'll only send you a deal when there's a deal by email. And also Twitter. Twitter is a great source. There's also Travelzoo. Travelzoo has a feed as well. You can sign up with Kayak. Kayak has airfare alerts, as does Orbitz, as does Expedia, as does Travelocity, as does TripAdvisor.
So there's a number of ways to do that. Now, I've heard. Now, you tell me if I'm right or wrong, if it's myth, if it's urban legend, but I've heard that I go on and search every day for a flight to Rome, or a flight to Florence, rather. Does that hurt me? I've heard that it'll keep a cookie and prices will go up the more you search.
No, I don't think that's true. I mean, I'm not saying it's an urban myth. It doesn't hurt to clear your cookies, but no, you should search several times a day, every day. That's how you do it. If you're not going to rely on us to try to find a deal for you, search three or four times a day. The thing is, there might be two seats, and I often see this, there are just two seats available at the rock bottom fare, and then they sell out, but then the person who buys it decides not to book it. You can reserve it now, you know, or buy it even, and not actually go because you have a 24-hour hold. So maybe those two seats go back in the inventory, and they'll be yours if you keep on looking. There are only a few seats available at the lowest fares. And then there's probably like 10 or 15 different fare buckets on a plane, even in economy classes. There's a $600 fare, the $650, the $700, the $750, the $800, the $900. And as the cheap fares sell out, they push you to the higher fares. But these days, people are holding seats for 24 hours because you can put a fare on 24-hour hold with a credit card and then change your mind. And that fare goes back into the inventory. And not just that, but yes, the airlines employ there are probably hundreds of fare analysts, and all they do all day is they sit in a cubicle in Dallas and they tweak fares. Mm-hmm. And they don't just do it once a day. They tweak them constantly. They say, well, okay, looks like this flight's selling really well. Let's raise the fare. Or this flight's not selling really well. Let's lower the fare.
So, George, and it sounds like your company monitors and has relationships with most of these carriers. Is that right?
Yes, we are completely agnostic when it comes to airlines.
All right.
Although, as I said, I'm not pushing Aeroflot.
So is there, and I realize that as you just described, some sales are going to happen on relatively short notice. But is there a relatively appropriate window for our listeners to start looking at travel plans to Europe? Should they be looking a year out, 6 months out? What's the window you would recommend?
There's no magic formula. And I see this all the time, these sound bites about when to book. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's funny because I heard that 54 days is the magic number.
And there's no magic number. Yeah, it's such a disservice. And I think the only reason that people do this is to get their names in the newspapers or on TV so their mom can say, I saw you on Good Morning America. Well, I was on Good Morning America recently, and I'm not sure if I actually said it, but there is absolutely no magic time to buy. The mistake fares can happen while we're talking here. It's like an earthquake in Los Angeles where I live. It could happen at any time. The fare could go down at any time, and there's no magic formula. It's disgusting. Every time I hear, you know, buy on a Wednesday, buy on a Tuesday, 3 p.m., midnight, 54 days out, it makes my blood boil because there's no magic.
If there's no magic number,
what you're doing, look.
So if there's no magic number on when to book, is there a magic day on when to fly, though?
Absolutely, yeah. International fares, Monday through Thursday. Monday through Wednesday, even better. Domestically, of course, Tuesday and Wednesday, followed by Saturday. No, absolutely. In most cases, you want to fly Monday to Wednesday. And, you know, January 5 to March 31st is a great time to fly to Europe. As I said, September after Labor Day until December 15, the fares are reasonable. Any other time you're in, I mean, those are low seasons. And then any other time you're in shoulder season. Another thing I want to say, too, is business class to Europe. We have seen, as long as you're going to get screwed on the airfare, we have seen business class fares last summer on American Airlines and other airlines that were cheaper than economy class fares. The economy class fares were so high, every summer, business travelers don't go to Europe. Those business class seats, they're not going to rip the business class seats out of the planes just to cram in more economy class people. So those seats go empty and the airlines have sales. We haven't seen so many so far this season.
George, you know, we're big proponents of not using a travel agent. We believe people can do this on their own. It takes a little bit of work, but you don't need to have a travel agent. You can work as your own. What services does Airfare Watchdog provide when people go to airfarewatchdog.com?
Well, as far as travel agents go, I think if you don't need to work with a bad travel agent, but there are good travel agents. And if you can find a good travel agent who might propose a package, for example, that might have a consolidator fare, for example, an opaque fare, a bulk fare with a hotel, then, you know, I think travel agents can be useful. We are not travel agents. We are just airfare listers. We're airfare searchers and airfare listers and airfare emailers and airfare tweeters. We are not travel agents. A lot of the travel agents advertise with us. We send people to travel agents. We don't sell anything. We don't sell airfares. We don't sell hotels. We just tell people when it's a good deal. And we make our money through advertising and through referrals. But I think a lot of people come to our site and they see a deal on Turkish Airlines and they go to turkishair.com, which is too bad, too sad, but it happens. But we're doing quite well. You know, we have like 3 million visitors every month. We started in my living room many, many years ago. I mentioned consolidators. You know, consolidators can be a fabulous way to get a deal to Europe. Travel agent consolidators like planetamex.com. And again, some of these business class or premium economy fares are actually cheaper than the back of the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Again, speaking of mistakes, we saw, it wasn't a mistake. Delta and United had a little fare war in business class to Europe. But I would advise listeners to go to the airline's websites, delta.com, united.com, or Google summer business class sales, and you'll see that almost every airline, Air France has some right now, they're not great prices, but they're 50% less than the normal business class. They're like $3,000 to Italy in business class from Los Angeles.
So, George, if a listener takes advantage of your site and they, let's say that they're going to book a trip to Rome, but they go to Scandinavia instead or Spain, do you also monitor and watch out for the European low-cost airlines, Ryanair and
no,
so on?
We don't. We used to have a UK site that that did that, but no, we don't do that. It's certainly a strategy that some people use. They fly to Dublin and then they fly to Italy on Ryanair. Again, there's a connection problem. If your inbound flight is late, Ryanair is not going to hold the plane. The other problem is bag fees. If you got a free check bag on American and your bag, you know, weighs 50 pounds, watch out, because Ryanair is going to charge you an arm and a leg. I've had emails from people who have done this strategy. They flew on United to Dublin, and then they switched to Ryanair, and they bring their bag to the check-in counter, and the bag is $400.
Oh, wow.
And I, one woman told me she just she said, there's nothing in here worth $400. I'm just going to take everything out.
You know, and that reminds me of the flight I took last year, because I flew from my home base to Prague. And then instead of booking another flight where I was from Prague to Florence, I booked just a single flight. It was round trip. It was leaving my home base to Prague and then flying out of Florence. And then I bought an Alitalia flight from Prague to Florence, and that saved me a ton of money. It saved me like $300 off each ticket by doing that. So you get creative, very much so. How did you found Airfare Watchdog? Were you a big traveler? Were you motivated by travel? Did you travel a lot? What was your motivation behind founding the company?
I'm a travel writer. I wrote for Travel and Leisure and Good Housekeeping and Men's Fitness, Men's Health, and Real Simple Magazine and newspapers and magazines, which I still do. I still write a lot for different newspapers, magazines, and websites. But I noticed mostly I did strategic travel tips rather than destination articles. And I noticed there was nothing like this that actually warned people when it's time to buy an airfare on a particular route. In the early days of the internet, we originally started the site with another company and put it on hiatus for a couple of years, and people kept on bugging us to bring it back. You have to do this again. So we did, and then we were quickly bought by Expedia, and now we're part of TripAdvisor. We're one of the 22 TripAdvisor companies, along with JetSetter and Tingo.com, the hotel's website, and Smarter Travel, and Cruise Critic, and Seek Guru, and so we're part of the TripAdvisor family, the world's largest travel website.
Oh, not a bad family to be a part of. George, we appreciate your time. Very good information. I think the biggest thing is what we learned today is that there's no magic number. And the best way to find that best airfare is to keep looking for it every single day.
Thank you, George.
Pleasure talking to you, too.
George, give you any surprises there, Pat?
You know, I was surprised that there's no magic date in advance of the flight to actually book. I thought that there would have been a little trade secret there.
As you walk away from this podcast, remember, if you're going to fly internationally, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the best to fly. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That is true. The days of the week that you do fly. As George said, there's no magic number, and I never really thought there was either, of a certain number of days out to buy that ticket. My advice is have a dollar amount in mind and stick with it. It makes it a lot easier. I'm ready to go buy a ticket. How about you?
Let's go. Let's go to George's website right now.
AirfareWatchdog.com is the website. Go check it out. A lot of great information. And again, sign up for email alerts. That's the best way to stay informed to make sure you get the ticket price that you're looking for your destination. Of course, we hope that your destination is Tuscany. If you haven't started following this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, please do so. Also, like us on our social media sites. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. And if you haven't checked out our Pinterest page yet, please do so. There's some great stuff up there on Pinterest. And Pat and I will be back next week with another Total Tuscany Podcast.
Have a good one. Take care.
Make sure to live Tuscan, everybody.
Ciao.